If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week was a big week in our family. My wife, Tori, had a birthday. You say, how old is she? You'll have to ask her that question yourself. I'm not letting that cat out of the bag, no sir. I don't know how you guys do it, but some years I do good on her present, and she's pretty easy to please. Some years I do really badly at her present. This year I wanted to do good. So I worked hard on it, planned on it for weeks in advance, tried to get her something that she really wanted, something she could use, went to Target. I shouldn't say that. I went to a store. May not be going there anymore. Got a wrapping paper that I thought she would like. Bought scissors and tape because I didn't want her to know I was wrapping a present. I did it all the right way. I tried to. I came home from work that day, and we were going to take her out for dinner that evening, and I couldn't wait. Couldn't wait till after dinner. Couldn't wait till dessert. I handed her the present, and I said, honey, you've got to open this right now. I can't stand it. Now, she could stand it fine. She was ready to go to dinner, but I had to see what would happen when she opened the present. She did. She opened it, and she loved it. And when she liked it, it brought great joy to me. It really did. And there really is a joy to giving, isn't there? It brought great joy to her because it was something she really wanted, something she could really use. She even liked the paper. I felt good about that. You know, a good gift brings great pleasure to the gift, to the person that gets the gift. A good gift brings great pleasure to the person that gave the gift. Did you know that God has given every believer in this room, every believer in this room, some gifts? Every child of God in this room was given spiritual gifts by God the moment you got saved. I meet a lot of Christians that by word or by deed don't believe that they've been gifted by God. There may be some of you here that feel so giftless. You would be nervous if someone asked you to lead in silent prayer. You just feel like, I'm not gifted in any way. There may be some of you that because of a sinful past or because of some shameful sin that you feel is blotting your record, and by the way, it's not. It's been covered by the blood of Jesus. But because of some shameful sin, you don't feel worthy enough to consider yourself gifted by God or the kind of person that God can use. Listen, at times in our life, we may feel like Christians without gifts, but there is no such thing as a Christian without gifts. Every Christian gifted by God the moment that you got saved. Now, I want you to imagine I had worked hard to give that gift to my wife and sacrificed for it and wrapped it up in pretty paper. Took that present home and said, hey, don't you want to open this up right now? And she said, no, let's wait till after dinner. And we came home after dinner and had the cake, and she said, you know, I can wait till tomorrow. And there that gift sat day after day, week after week, unopened. For weeks and weeks, it just sits there. If she would have done that, she would have deprived me of the joy of giving her the gift. I think I got more joy out of it than she did. She would have deprived herself of the joy of using something that was meant to add pleasure to her life. And that's exactly what many Christians are doing. The moment they got saved, they were given gifts by God, but they've never discovered those gifts. They've never developed those gifts and refined them. They've never deployed those gifts for the good of other people and for the glory of God. And the giftings that God gave you, great giftings, the moment you got saved, for so many Christians, remain unopened and unexplored. And I'm convinced tonight that that's one of the reasons why so many Christians live such joyless lives. Seriously. We come to church and we hear the preacher preach, and he does his best to use his gift. We hear the people in the choir use their gifts. We bring our children to church, and gifted people are pouring into our children. And we sit there and we soak it all in and we observe week after week after week, never dreaming that we have a gift from God and never dreaming of using that gift from God. And as everything's poured into us and nothing flows out of us, and as we see Christians all around us that God is using in great and mighty ways and he's not using us, no wonder so many Christians lack such joy. The moment you find out what your gift is, or your gifts are, And the moment you begin to develop that gift for God's glory and use it for the good of some other person, you deploy that gift, that'll be one of the most joyful moments in your entire Christian life. And as your pastor and as someone that loves you, I want you to know that joy. So tonight, we're going to talk about our spiritual gifts. And I've just entitled the message, Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gift. In the Christian world, we've often divided people up into the clergy. What's clergy? Those are routinely considered people that are in full-time ministry. And the laity. Laity are the people in the pew that work jobs. A little girl was asked to define the difference between the clergy and the laity. She said, the clergy are paid for being good. The laity are good for nothing. She was wrong on both fronts, okay? Unfortunately, that's the way so many think. Listen to me, no believer is good for nothing. God set his love on you and saved you for a purpose. And every person in this room is good for something in God's kingdom. Every person in the pew has a purpose in the church. Every person. So here we're going to walk through in a very practical way the definitive passage in the New Testament on spiritual gifts. And by the time we're done today, I hope that you can discover your spiritual gift, learn how to develop it, and then come up with a strategy to deploy it in the life of someone else. So I want you to look at, first of all, the description of the gifts. The description of the gifts. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, talking to saved people, brothers in Christ, I would not have you ignorant. That's a small verse, but there's a lot there. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know, a lot of Christians are ignorant about their gifts. They've been given the gift, but they just don't know it. Some of you are saying, if I had really been given a gift by God that was so great like you're describing, I would know it. Well, not according to God's word. God's word says it's possible to possess the gift, but be ignorant about it. And a lot of Christians are. If you ever take I-35 south towards Burleson, that's where I live, there's a warehouse, and painted on front of the warehouse, it says unclaimed freight. You ever seen a place like that? I've always wondered about a place like that. I have a hard time believing that a person would purchase something, have it shipped somewhere, and then not show up to pick it up. But it happens. They fill entire warehouses with stuff like that. Let me tell you, folks, many churches are warehouses of unclaimed and unopened gifts that were purchased by Christ on the cross, imparted to believers at salvation, but believers are not using them. It's unclaimed gifts. So let's not be ignorant about it. Paul says two elementary things as he describes the gifts. First of all, he says the gifts are spiritual. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now, listen to me, folks. This is real practical and plain tonight. If they're spiritual gifts, that means they aren't material gifts. If I told you that the moment you got saved, God deposited in a bank account at some bank around the world $1 million for you to spend, and it was your job to find it, you wouldn't even wait till the end of the message. You would get in your car, get on a plane, go wherever you had to go to get that $1 million that God gave you when you got saved. Listen to me, instead of God guaranteeing us material gifts, God has guaranteed us spiritual gifts, they're incredibly valuable. God thinks it's more important for you to have a spiritual gift that you use than it is for you to have $1 million. Imagine that. It's a spiritual gift, not a material gift. Notice it's not natural talents. They're not natural talents. Don't miss it, all talent does come from God. People that use their voice to glorify the Lord by singing a solo on church on Sunday are using talents that God gave them the moment they were born. And the author of those talents is God himself. But you don't have to be a Christian to be talented, do you? Lost people can be talented. There are lost people that are incredible singers. Lost people that are incredible public speakers. Lost people can be good with their hands and build works of art. Lost people can be incredibly intelligent when it comes to education. And if we're not careful, we will value in the church natural talents more than spiritual gifts. We'll take a look at someone and say, because they're naturally talented, this is the kind of person that needs to be ministering. God says, no, I don't value natural talents near as much as I value spiritual gifts. So just because you're talented at something does not mean the Spirit of God is at work in that particular ministry. They're not natural talents, they're spiritual gifts. If you had to choose between using natural talent to serve the Lord or using a spiritual gifting empowered by the Holy Spirit, you should choose that spiritual gifting every single time. Now, a natural talent yielded to the Lord under the operation of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the exercise of a spiritual gift, that's a talent that can be used in a great way by God. But if you had to choose between the two, you'd take the spiritual gift every time. Why? Because the Christian life isn't natural. It's supernatural. And ladies and gentlemen, we have far too many churches where gifted people are using their natural talents divorced from the power of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian was created to operate under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and we are helpless in the kingdom without it. They're not natural talents. They're not material gifts. They're spiritual gifts. Notice, not only are they spiritual gifts, but the gifts are gifts. Say, man, you really had to work hard on that one, didn't you? Well, what does it mean if it's a gift? It means it's not earned. It's no matter how much you come to church and how hard you work in the church, you cannot give yourself a spiritual gift. They're not learned. You can't sit in a classroom and get a spiritual gift. These gifts are given by God. Now, don't miss it. The word gift has the same root word as the root word for grace. What's grace? Grace is God's undeserved kindness towards sinners, right? We talk about that all the time. We didn't get to choose to have the grace of God. God just gave it to us because he loved us. We don't get to choose the gifts that God gives us. They're gifts from him. We don't get to trade gifts with other people. We don't get to exchange because we prefer some other gift. We have to trust that in his wisdom, God knows the gift we need. Do you believe that? That before the foundation of the world, God initiated a plan to save you. As he initiated that plan to save you, he also, in his intelligence, planned the gifts that he would give you when you got saved. And those are the gifts in his wisdom that he has meant from the foundation of the world for you to have. Now, for me, that's two things. It's comforting, it's convicting. It's comforting because if these gifts really come from God and I can't manufacture them on my own, I don't have to compare my giftedness with other people. I don't have to look at other preachers and say, he's more gifted than I am. I don't have to look at other Christians and say, she's more gifted than I am. All I have to do is trust that God knows best and use my gifts to the best of the abilities that he's given me. But on the other hand, it's convicting. Because if God gave me the gifts, and God trusted me with the gifts, then I have a responsibility to use those gifts for his glory. Not to let them go unopened or unexplored. I believe that so many Christians are doing what they want to do, not what they're capable of doing. The Lord said about Mary of Bethany, who poured the alabaster box full of perfume on his feet, he said she had done what she could. She used every resource at her disposal to give maximum glory to Christ. And I'm convinced that there are a lot of Christians who are much more gifted than they ever realized, but they're doing what they want, not what God has gifted them to do. When we don't get involved in ministry because we claim to be ungifted, when we don't get involved in ministry because we think we're unworthy, you know what we're really doing? We're really poor-mouthing the God that gave us gifts. When you walk in here and tuck your tail between your legs and refuse to use your gifts to serve people, you know what you're saying? God didn't give me any good gifts. God really blessed the preacher. He didn't bless me. God's given so-and-so a lot more than he's given me. Listen to me today. There's a God in heaven that's full of grace and love. He's given you everything you need to serve the Lord. Don't poor mouth God. He's given you everything you need. God didn't make a mistake when he saved you. God didn't make a mistake when he gifted you. They were gifts of his grace, sovereignly chosen by a good God. That's the description of the gift. Notice quickly the distortion of the gift. Look at verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. In the church of Corinth, they were having some real problems with spiritual gifts. Here's why: whatever God creates, Satan counterfeits. The exercise of spiritual gifts in this church had become an issue of division. Read the next half of this chapter. We won't get to it tonight. Go home and read it. You're going to find out that there were fights going on in the church about who would get to exercise what gifts and what people really were gifted. People at the church in Corinth, read chapter 14, were attributing things to the Spirit that had nothing to do with the Spirit. There was all kinds of craziness going on in the Corinthian church. The distortion of spiritual gifts wasn't just a Corinthian thing. You know, spiritual gifts are being distorted in our day as well. Sure they are. There's a lot of charismatic craziness going on in churches, isn't there? A lot of confusion. There are a lot of things being laid at the feet of the Holy Spirit that have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. A lot of things being claimed as spiritual gifts that have nothing to do with spiritual gifts. It's nonsense. Everything from speaking in gibberish to extra-biblical revelations to dreams and visions that contradict the clear teaching of God's Word. And Paul says this is a distortion. He gives the acid test for knowing whether your spiritual gift is really a spiritual gift in verse 3. He says, here's the acid test. If this gift, while you're being led by the Spirit of God, says that Jesus is the Lord, then it's of God. What's he saying here? He's saying the true work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer will always magnify and always elevate the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory will always go to him. Our Savior said to himself in John 16, he said about the Spirit, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he, the Holy Spirit, shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, talking about Jesus. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Here's how you know a real spiritual work is being done. The person is using his or her gift as an avenue to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. How does a person speaking gibberish, falling around and clucking like a chicken, glorify Jesus? It doesn't. How does a person that claims to get an extra special revelation from God that no one else can know but he and God himself, how does that person glorify God? That doesn't glorify Jesus. That glorifies the person who got the extra special revelation that was the super secret Christian, right? Certainly. So there's a lot of craziness going on at the church at Corinth, a lot of craziness going on in our churches as well, in some charismatic churches. You know, we may not have the charismatic confusion problems in independent Baptist churches, but one problem we can have is gifted men and women elevating themselves in their giftedness to the expense of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me, folks, and I want to say this kindly. I get a little wary of people talking about great men of God. I get a little wary of people talking about great women of God. How about we just talk about how great our God is? Yes, there are some incredibly gifted people ministering in churches today, and we thank God for those gifts God gave them. But because those gifts came from God, because he was the source, all the glory ought to go to God. It's not about natural talents. It's not about a show of the flesh. It's about an exercise of the Spirit, and God gave those gifts. If you're in a Sunday school class and that class is more about the teacher than it is about Jesus, you're in the wrong class. If you're in a ministry that's more about elevating the ministry leader than it is elevating the name of Jesus Christ, you're in the wrong ministry. And if there ever does come a day, and I pray it'll never be so, but if there ever does come a day where this church becomes the kind of place that's about elevating preachers or pastors or soloists or staff members above the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be in the wrong kind of church. We have not been called by God to be Christian celebrities. We've been called by God to be spiritual servants. The Spirit dispenses the gifts for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's why he gives the gifts. Satan distorts the gifts for the glory of man. So we need to be very careful how we use our gifts. So he gives the description of gifts, the distortion of gifts. Notice the diversity of gifts. Look at verse 7. Now, there are diversities of gifts. Verse 4, excuse me. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And all God's people said, huh? What What's he saying there? Well, what does the word diversity mean? It simply means various or different kinds. That's what it means. It means different kinds. Verse 4 says that there are different kinds of gifts. That speaks of God's provision. These are gifts of grace, as we've already talked about. And what that means? It means that there are many Christians in this church that will have different spiritual gifts. I'm not going to have your gift. You're not always going to have my gifts. There's going to be a lot of different gifts in the life and ministry of a local church. God sees to that. That's his design. That's not a weakness. It's a strength. So he says there's different kinds of gifts. Verse 5 says that there's different kinds of administrations. The word translated ministration is translated as ministry or service in other places of Scripture. So what's he saying? There are different kinds of ways to serve, different kinds of services. That speaks of God's purpose. God has given you your gift for a purpose. And the purpose of that gift is to serve. Listen to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Speaking of himself, the Lord Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Why did Jesus come? To minister to people for God. And his greatest act of service was what? Giving his life on the cross as a ransom for the souls of men. So Jesus came to minister to others for God. And his Spirit gives gifts to his people so they can do the very same thing that Jesus did. Not so they can be ministered to. Not so they can have a spotlight. Not so they can be elevated, but so that they can humbly use those gifts to be a blessing in the lives of other people. That's it. If your idea of a spiritually gifted person is someone in the spotlight showing off, you've got the wrong idea. A much better picture would be our Savior meekly binding himself with a towel and washing people's feet. That's what a person using a spiritual gift looks like. How about a deacon visiting the hospital in the middle of the night? How about five men gathered together praying in fervent faith that God would heal a sick person? This is spiritual gifting. This is what spiritually gifted people do. They serve. So here's a question. How have I as a Christian been gifted by God to be a channel of his grace to someone else? That's what spiritual gifting is all about. Notice verse 6 says there's different kinds of operations. So different gifts, different administrations, different operations. That's the same word we get our English word energy from. Gifting speaks of provision. Administration speaks of purpose. But energy or operation speaks of power. Listen to me today. Your gifts need power to operate. In my kitchen, I have all kinds of appliances. They're very different. I have a refrigerator. I have a blender. I have a coffee maker. Amen. That's the most important one. I've got a microwave. All right? I've got all kinds of different things, and they were designed for different purposes. They carry out different functions in one kitchen. But the one thing all of those appliances have in common is that they have to be plugged into the power source. So there are people in this room that have all kinds of different spiritual giftings. You serve in different ways and in various ministries, but the one thing we all have in common is that for us to use our gifts, we have to be plugged into the power. It's God that does the work. And here's the good news. The same God that gave the gift wants to empower the gift. A lot of times we get the idea that if we step out by faith in some ministry that we won't be able to do what we feel like we should do. God has said you step out in the ministry and the power will come from him. You'll get the energy that you need. That's important. We have different gifts, different ways of administering and serving with those gifts, and even different degrees of power upon our lives. But our calling and gifting comes from one God. Listen to me. The same God that has called and empowered your pastor has called and empowered you. The same God that placed your pastor in Worth Baptist Church has placed you in Worth Baptist Church. And it would be just as much a travesty for you to leave your spiritual gift unopened as it would be for any of our pastors, any of our staff members, any of our ministry leaders. God has empowered you and placed you here for a purpose. Every believer gifted, every believer perfectly gifted by a God who makes no mistakes. Many of you know I have two children. How many parents do we have in the room today? Praise the Lord. I have two children, and neither one of them are disposable. You say, is Will disposable or is Anna disposable? Well, neither one. And if I had 20 children, none of them would be disposable. Listen to me, folks. There are no disposable children in God's family. There are no disposable members in God's church. No other believer could ever take your place in God's heart. No other believer could ever take your place in God's heart. That is good news. And no other believer could ever take your place in God's plan. He has a plan and purpose for you. He has specifically gifted you and empowered you for that purpose. And no one will ever take your place. You have a ministry, something that God wants you to do. You got to discover it. You got to develop it. You got to deploy it. By our diversity, by our differences, by the variety of different giftings in this room is the local church's real strength. Because not everybody can preach the sermon on Sunday. Not everybody can sing the solo. Not everybody can teach the Sunday school class. But you get 500 or 600 people each coming to the conviction that they have to use their individual spiritual gifts. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to Worth Baptist Church. It's going to be a hospital for sinners that cares well for people and that gets the gospel to our community. That's what will happen. This is the diversity of the gifts. Notice quickly the design of the gifts. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What does the word manifestation mean? You see that a lot in the Bible. It simply means to make known, to make clear. Don't you like when someone makes something clear? That's what I'm trying to do tonight. The manifestation means to make it clear, to put it on display. That's what spiritual gifts do. What do spiritual gifts make clear or put on display? Well, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit. This is good news. When believers use their spiritual gifts, they make the Holy Spirit clear to the church and clear to the world. They put the Holy Spirit of God on display by the way they live their lives. Let me ask you a question. Think about it for a second. If someone as big as God was really present in our church, wouldn't people know about it? I mean, we pray all the time, Lord, be present in this service. Lord, fill us and use us. We want to know your presence. We want you to be here in a real and tangible way. If someone as big as God was really present with us, wouldn't we know it? Well, sure we would. How is the presence of God manifested most of the time? The Shekinah glory cloud is probably not going to fall tonight. How is his glory manifested? How is he known? It's displayed when Christians, when you, when I use our spiritual gifts for the Lord's purpose, for the Lord's glory. Parents, let me ask you a question. Would you like to put the Holy Spirit on display in your home? Would you like your kid to know by the time he or she graduates from high school, God is real because I've met him in my home? Would you like that? How are you going to do it? You're going to do it by putting the Holy Spirit on display, by exercising your spiritual gifts. Now listen to me. My dad is not a pastor or preacher, but he has some spiritual gifts. For years and years at our church growing up, he was a bus captain. Every Saturday, he'd be out knocking doors for those bus kids, and he'd take me with him a lot of times. Every Sunday, he'd be up early riding that bus route to tell children about Jesus Christ. He was the children's church worker, and my mom helped in there when she wasn't playing the piano in the services. You know where I learned God was real? When in a church service. I learned God was real by seeing the way that my dad loved kids that didn't care one thing about him. I learned that God was real because of the way my mom poured her soul into those children. You know, some of those kids have gone off to Bible college and are serving the Lord. That's where I learned God was real. You know how you're going to put the Holy Spirit on display in your home, parent? Find out what your spiritual gift is. Get busy using it. And then do something with your life that is so unexplainable that your children will have no other rationale for what happened other than to say, God did it. God did it. That'll put the Spirit on display. Now, what's the opposite of putting the Spirit on display? Well, the opposite of that would be hiding the Spirit, right? Keeping it private. When I use my spiritual gifts, the Spirit is displayed. When I refuse to use my spiritual gift, then what happens? The Spirit of God in his work in my life is hidden. And so people that desperately need to see it won't see it. Parents, you can listen to Christian music and watch Christian movies and bring your kids to church three times a week. And you ought to do all of that stuff. But they're never going to learn that God is real until they see Him at work in you and through you. Parents, what are you attempting to do in your life that would be impossible without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? To whatever degree you answer that question is the degree to which you are displaying God for your children to see. Now, real quickly, and we'll have to close here. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Withal is an old English word. We don't use it often anymore. So let's say it this way, for all. That would be a proper way of saying it. The Spirit has been made clear and is given to every man, to every believer, to profit for all. You know what that ultimately means? It ultimately means that you have not been gifted for you. You've been gifted for the glory of God and for the profit of all. I like what one author said. Your spiritual gift is not for your enjoyment. Your spiritual gift is for your employment. Your spiritual gift is a tool, not a toy. It's not for your enjoyment. It's not so you can say, look how gifted I am. It's for your employment as you put it to work for the profit of people. You see, when I use my gift, you're blessed. When you use your gift, I'm blessed. When individuals in a church begin to use their gifts and they get off the sidelines and they get in the game, everybody wins, don't they? You win because you got the joy of serving Jesus and you got to see Him do something great. The people that you minister to wins. The entire church wins because it increases. Your Sunday school class wins. Your ministry wins. Your church wins. The lost win. And the Lord Jesus Christ gets the glory that He deserves. Listen, everybody wins when a believer discovers his or her gifts and begins to use them. But listen, keep your gift to yourself. Study God's word and write it in a notebook somewhere and never tell somebody else about it. Have the gift of help, but never enough courage to really reach out and be a blessing to someone. Keep your faith to yourself. Keep your wisdom to yourself. And you know what happens? Everybody loses. You lose because you don't get the joy from serving Jesus. Your family loses because they don't get to see what God could have done through you. Your ministry loses. Your church loses. The lost people you could reach lose. And the Lord Himself will lose the glory that He deserves from your life. Listen, folks. God hasn't just blessed you to bless you. God has blessed you to bless others. You need your church. You need your church. And just as equally, your church needs you. And when the members bless the church and use their gifts, guess what happens? The church blesses the community. That's what's happening right now. Some of you are trying to explain what's going on in our church right now. You know what's happening? People are using their gifts. It's not about any person. People are using their gifts. So we go out and be a blessing to the Ladera Palms. We go out and be a blessing to Odie Wyatt. We go out and be a blessing to Carter Park and to TCC South and to folks at an art fair and to folks at a Relay for Life. We use our spiritual gifts, and guess what happens? We bless our community. We bless our community. And guess what happens? We bless our church. We bless our community, and our community blesses the world. That's what God wants. There is a worldwide blessing at hand when believers unwrap their spiritual gifts. So let me ask you as I close tonight, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? You know they're in the Bible. You don't have to wonder what they are. They're in the Bible. They're right here in Romans chapter, or in 1 Corinthians 12. And then remember the 12s, they're in Romans chapter 12. So when you go home tonight, you can study and see what the gifts of God are. You want to discover your spiritual gifts, you got to study. You know what else you got to do? You got to surrender. In Romans chapter 12, the parallel passage to this chapter, right before Paul talks about the spiritual gifts, comes Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You know what those verses are? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we discover our spiritual gifts? We've got to surrender to the Lord, lock, stock, and barrel, and say, no matter how much you may have gifted me, no matter how little you may have gifted me, how you've gifted me is how you've gifted me, but I surrender to you to be used in whatever way you want to use me. A lot of us don't know what our spiritual gifts are because we won't surrender to God. We got to study. We got to surrender, and don't miss this. We got to serve. Romans and 1 Corinthians says we are members of one body. Let me tell you, the best way to figure out what your spiritual gifts are is to just jump in and serve somewhere. You know what will happen? You'll pass the test of enjoyment. You'll get involved in some ministry somewhere, and you'll figure out, you know what? God's gifted me here. When I do this thing, I feel like I'm good at it, and I get a lot of joy out of it. Then you'll pass the test of encouragement. Because as you begin to use your gift, believers in the body here will begin to recognize that you have a gifting there. You see that all through the book of Acts, separating certain people for the ministry because the church recognized the gift of God that was upon them. Now listen, it's a sad thing when someone's been called to preach or thinks they've been gifted to preach and no one's been gifted to listen to them, right? It's a sad thing. It's a great thing when you've been gifted to do someone and other people in your church recognize that gift and give you encouragement. By the way, believers, when someone is ministering well for the glory of God, we ought to reach out and encourage them and let them know that they are gifted and that God is using them. So you'll pass the enjoyment test. You'll pass the encouragement test. Don't miss this. You'll pass the enlightenment test. As you begin serving, the Spirit of God in your heart will say, amen. This is why I've saved you. This is why I have placed you on this earth. As you're doing this thing, I'm using you. And he will confirm in your spirit that you are using your gift for his glory. Just one quick story and I'm done. I was called to preach in between the 7th and 8th grade at a Christian camp. I came home and we went to a small church. So you know what happens when you're a preacher boy and you're called to preach and you go to a small church? You're 13 years old and they ask you to preach somewhere. That's what happens. The guy that was in charge of children's church at that time, it wasn't my dad, came up to me and says, you've been called to preach. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you're preaching this Sunday in children's church. And I began to say, I'm not real sure I've really been called at this moment, you know. And I gave him some lame excuse because I was afraid, like, I'm afraid my friends will laugh at me and I can't do it. He said, are you sure? I said, okay. You know what happened? I went home and the Holy Spirit began to work on my little 13-year-old heart. He said, you've been called to preach. You need to preach. I didn't know a thing about preparing a sermon. Not a thing about preaching. My dad's not a preacher. I didn't know any of this stuff. So I saw that guy Wednesday night at church. The Holy Spirit was working on me. And I said, I will preach on Sunday. He said, what are you going to preach about? I said, I don't know. So I prayed and I studied and I prayed and I read God's word and I rolled out and I wrote out a whole whopping front and back page of a piece of notebook paper as my notes. I thought that was really something. I went and preached that day and I made a mess of it. But listen, I loved every single moment of it. And that day, the first day I ever preached, a little boy got saved. And I went home that Sunday and I wasn't scared anymore. You know what I said? This is what I want to do every Sunday for the rest of my life. And you listen to me. Just as equally, just as importantly, you have a gift and a purpose. Find it. Use it. Enjoy it. Let's pray. Father, it would have been enough if you just saved us and gave us eternity in heaven. But no, you gave us a gift so that we could be used for your glory. Maybe several gifts. There are some Christians here that are sitting on the sidelines. They're not in the game. Maybe they don't think they have gifts or they don't think much of their gifts. Lord, I pray that the teaching of your word tonight would convict their heart. That they would go home and discover what those gifts are. They would develop them for your glory. And they would seek to deploy them so they can be a prophet to people and glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please?